It is Friday. We're a day late, but it's Friday, March 29. We're heading into a big weekend of fantasy basketball, playoffs, finals for a lot of people, including myself and potentially my guest tonight as well. So we've got a lot to discuss. We're going to look at injuries. We're going to look at our three favorite waiver wire pickups for the year and then have a look at some player value for the 2024-25 season. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam King. At AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. At FBI Basketball on Twitter is where you will find us. Joining me, it isn't Matty G this week. He's away with the family. It's Good Friday here already, so he's off enjoying the long weekend. So with me is DMAC at NBA Fantasy Bible on Twitter. Dan, thanks for squeezing me in on this holiday.
Absolutely, Kingy. Great to be here. Yes, Good Friday for us. Been busy at our fish and chips, of course. But yeah, looking forward to getting into more fantasy hoops.
Yeah, it's a nice 4-day break. I enjoy the Easter break. Even yesterday, Thursday, was pretty quiet at work. No one was there. So it was almost a 5-day weekend. There was a little bit of work to do, but not too much. So you're heading away at all or just sticking around?
Sticking around. We've got a bit of family come over on Monday, so nice barbecue just to celebrate that. Then, yeah, back into it again on Tuesday. But, yeah, keeping it local, but heaps to do with the kids, of course.
Yeah, we're not going too far. Heading to the movies tomorrow with my son. We're going to go and see Ghostbusters and Godzilla. So we're going to go and do a double feature, spend the day at the cinema. And so that'll be good. That'll be good. Haven't seen either of those movies yet. So he's been counting down the days. He's a big Godzilla, King Kong fan. So looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds good.
So I just thought we'd touch on some injury news. We're heading into obviously Friday's games in the States. So 3 days remaining this week. A big week in fantasy basketball. I'm in 4 finals this week, championship weeks. Are you in any this week? How have your head-to-head leagues gone this year?
Yeah, of my 4 leagues that I've done this year, I'm still alive in 1 of them. So kicked out of the semis last week, a lot of injuries, but again, that's part and parcel of the game. So no reason to cry over that. But yes, semis in that one. And then in the Locked On Fantasy Bowl, eliminated in the first week of finals. So that was a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, 1 remaining, but looking strong. That's their hometown keeper league, which it's probably my main league. It's the league that I put most effort into. And for any of the guys that are out there and listening, I'm coming for the championship. Probably going up against the 2-time reigning champion in the final next week, but his matchup is a little bit tighter. Mine should be straightforward, up 9-2 in an 11-cat league.
Oh, okay. Okay, there's a lot of games tomorrow though, so I don't know how many, but I know it's a sort of a full slate tomorrow and then quiet on Saturday, full slate on Sunday. So streaming has been pretty tricky this week because we've had 4 days where your roster's basically full every day and then 3 days, very low volume, but obviously very few players to choose from. So if we just have a look at some notable injuries for tomorrow or players that are questionable, Lauri Markkanen questionable again, although it's with a shoulder injury. So correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a quad for quite a while.
It was a quad previously, yeah.
So this is a new injury that's popped up. What do you think he plays tomorrow?
I've got a feeling he plays. But I hope he doesn't. Down the stretch... you're up against him. Yeah, down the stretch, I think they're going to find more injuries. If it's going to be a quad, if it's going to be a whatever it may be, I think they're going to find any excuse under the sun, try to sit him. I know Jordan Clarkson is also going to miss. They've ruled him out already. So that boosts the value of guys like Keyonte. A lot of people are asking, do we keep Keyonte? I think he has to be rostered if Clarkson's going to remain seated as well.
A couple of Timberwolves guys. I mean, they've been on the injury report for the last couple of weeks. Rudy Gobert with his rib issue that's sort of been ongoing. But Anthony Edwards is now questionable with back spasms, which is a new injury for him. It was a finger. It was an ankle. I think it might have been a face at some point. So this is a new one. He tends to not miss games. He tends to play through most of his injuries, but backs can be tricky. So do you think there's a chance Anthony Edwards misses tomorrow?
Possibly, but like you said, I think he tries to play as many games as possible. Face of the NBA for the future. That finger injury, of course, coming after that monster dunk a few days ago, which is I'm still getting over. But yeah, I think he'll play. Of course, without Kat, he's been the main man. He's been quite dominant in the last few weeks.
Probably one of the more significant ones is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So he missed their last game with a quad injury. Doubtful for tomorrow. So given where they are in the standings, they want him, they need him healthy for the playoffs. So decent chance he sits tomorrow. Josh Giddey's been playing probably his best basketball of the year by far over the last couple of weeks. Is there anyone that we're looking at for streaming tomorrow if you do have an empty roster spot, if Shai misses?
Yeah, there's opportunity. Josh Giddey isn't rostered everywhere. So if he is available, he has to be rostered while SGA is sidelined. So yeah, make sure he is picked up. Just double check. In most competitive leagues, he is already picked up, but you just never know. He's the guy that's going to benefit the most.
And we've got... who else have we got here? Luka Doncic is questionable with an Achilles issue. So I feel like this is a new thing as well. I know he has been questionable with his face. He had a nose something fracture or something like that. So this one is also new, I think, the Achilles thing. So I'm really hoping that he plays and a little bit light. Well, not to the same level as Anthony Edwards, but he has seems to have played through a lot of his niggles this year. They're playing so well. They're fighting for a top four spot. So they sort of need all the wins that they can get at the moment. So I'm hoping Luka plays, but Achilles, we know they can be tricky. Anthony Davis sort of dealing with an Achilles thing for a few weeks. What do you think about Luka? Another guy who probably suits up?
Yeah, I think he'll suit up. Like you said, they're battling. I'm not sure where they are in the standings. They could be seventh in the West at the moment, but yeah, battling for a top four. But even you look at the guys, 7, 8, 9, it's really competitive in the West. So I'd expect that he does suit up.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up the standings. If we go to the West, so Dallas is sixth, half a game ahead of Phoenix, and they are two games behind the Clippers for the fourth seed with the Pelicans sandwiched in between them. Only two games. I know Phoenix have a really hard run over the last couple of weeks. Dallas, Pelicans, Clippers, I feel like they're fairly similar in terms of the difficulty of their remaining games. So, yeah, they will want to try and get up into that fourth or fifth spot, I think. You don't want to risk falling down into seventh and having to face Denver or, maybe they wouldn't mind facing OKC or Minnesota.
I think that'd be a great matchup. Yeah, so, if they could go up against, particularly Minnesota, I think they'd love that matchup.
And let me just go. We've got our Portland guys. We know that, those guys have been out basically for the last few weeks, so nothing much to discuss there. Same with Detroit. They've got their usual guys on the injury report. So probably no one else significant, I don't think.
It just makes Delano Banton just a must-roster guy in Portland at the moment. Just he's been on a tear, but yeah, it just solidifies his role even further.
All right. So let's bring up the slides. So as I said, we're going to just talk about our three favorite waiver wire pickups from the year. And these are actually guys that we've picked up in our leagues. So not just, hey, this guy has been really good. I'm going to jump back to your page first. So you sent me through three names and a fourth who honourable mention as well. So take us through your three, starting with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, so I talked this guy up from preseason, and I just loved his role and the opportunity. It's no John Collins. I just thought there'd be some minutes opening up. It looked as though maybe he was going to battle Sadiq Bey, but it quickly became obvious that he was the better player. He started, I think, within maybe a week of the start of the
season.
Second game. So, yeah, I think I had him from the outset, and then it became clear that he needed to be rostered everywhere, and he just hasn't really struggled too much. He's been in and out with some injuries. He's currently still missing. I'm hoping that he'll return in the next few games. But, yeah, he's been a wonderful pickup. And I think even in terms of, because I picked him up in my keeper league, I think he's going to be a solid player probably for the next decade.
Yeah, I think he's probably, we did our early industry mock a couple of weeks ago now, and I feel like he went maybe third round, fourth round. Like I think he's going to go really in that top 40 sort of range next season, which is absolutely basically in line with what he's done this year.
Well, he's 44th per basketball monster on the season this year in 9-cat. So, yeah, he could improve on that. His free throws are sometimes a little bit iffy, so he could improve on that, just becoming a nice all-round player. But, yeah, definite top 50 guy next season.
Yeah, I've got his stats there. So for anyone that isn't watching, that's listening along, 16.1 points, 8.6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, basically a steal and a block, 1.3 threes, 51 from the field and 73 from the line. As you said, his free throw percentage hasn't been great. So if he can bump that up to 78, close to 80, that automatically lifts him up into the mid-30s. And I think his points, I think he can be closer to 18 or 19 points as well, 1.53. So I think there's lots of potential improvement here. Nothing significant, but just little improvements across the board could see him bump up into that third round pretty comfortably.
And I guess depending on what Atlanta want to do in terms of their alphas, I sent out a tweet today in regards to DeJounte Murray, who's been just awesome recently with Trae Young missing. If one of those two guys do get traded, then Jalen Johnson's usage you would expect to increase as well. So that just has just a little bit of additional spice to it as well in terms of Jalen Johnson's value for next season.
Yeah, I think so. As long as DeJounte's not shooting 44 shots like he did today.
Insane.
That was a lot of shots. He was really good, and he obviously hit the game winner, but 44 points on 44 shots. I looked at the Boston box score, and I think the most there was Tatum, who took 22 or 21 or something. So, 44 is a lot. And I think it's only the 11th time it's happened since the shot clock was introduced, something like that. So,
yeah,
it's pretty rare for players to get up into that range.
Yeah, and the highest since Russ did it many seasons ago.
Yeah,
I think MVP season probably.
Yes, probably. So your next guy is Miles Bridges, who's the 53rd ranked player this season. I might have had him on my list if you didn't, because I did manage to get him in a couple of leagues this year. So talk us through Miles Bridges and what he's done this season.
Yeah, just another one that we're talking up from the preseason. We just knew that he was going to come back, and just Charlotte being Charlotte, we knew he was going to be thrusted into a really prominent role. Clifford said that from the outset, and it just was a no-brainer. I know he wasn't for everyone's taste for moral reasons, and even for people thinking he's been out of the game for such a long time, he's going to be rusty. And he was a little bit rusty to begin with, but then it just the opportunity was there. And we thought he was just going to grow alongside LaMelo. We knew what LaMelo's disastrous season turned out to be, but Miles has been fairly consistent across the year. He should have similar value next season if he does remain in Charlotte. Perhaps he does get traded. There were a lot of trade rumors at trade deadline that he would possibly move to someone like the Phoenix Suns. But if he does move, I would say that takes a lot of his value away. But for the time being, I think, great pickup if you did pick him up off the waiver wire. And next season, again, should be around that top 60, top 50 value type of guy.
Yeah, I think at the moment, yes. As you said, if he is moved to a team with some higher usage players and just better all-around talent, he probably drops back to be top 80, top 90. But, as I said, 53rd on the season. And that's actually probably not an accurate reflection of how good he's been, because if you look at him over the, he's top 150 over the last month. He's sort of scaled back a bit. He's, I think Charlotte have basically given up. So he's still been playing minutes, but he hasn't been shooting as well and not getting as much of those peripheral stats. So I think he's similar to where Jalen Johnson is. If you took away the last or take away the last 2-3 weeks, he's probably top 50, top 45. So, and then the final guy on the list here, fresh off a career high, 41, 42 the other night with 11 threes, Dante DiVincenzo. So talk to us about him.
Yeah, this came out of the blue, and I didn't pick him up. I didn't talk him up in the offseason. He's just one of these guys that's just flourished as the season's gone on. Of course, the Knicks have had quite a few injuries, so he's benefited from that. We had OG Anunoby, who's still sidelined, Julius Randle, who's still sidelined as well. But I think he's found his niche. He's got some old college teammates on his team as well, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart. So I think he's comfortable, a lot more comfortable than he was at the Warriors and at the Bucks. And that he's just turned into Steph Curry light. And I say that Steph Curry light, he's actually been pretty much Steph Curry level with his three-point shooting, just amazing. And I think he'll keep that for as long as OG is out. I think maybe in the next couple of games he may return. So I still think Dante DiVincenzo has some serious value there.
Yeah, he does. He's been really good. I'm just bringing up who was your honorable mention was Alex Caruso. So I'll let you talk about Alex Caruso just briefly.
Yeah, another one of these guys that I've picked up in my personally, actually a couple of my leagues, but a lot better in categories than obviously points leagues. And yeah, I like to compare and contrast points versus categories. But of course, we know that he's just defensive maestro. He'll get you those steals. He'll get you those blocks. He's solid from the field. Just really good all-round talent, but of course in previous seasons it's just been the injuries that have just held him back in and out of the lineup. He hasn't been a must roster just because of those injuries, but he's just built up health over the season, which has been good. I know the last few games he's always been questionable, but he's played pretty much every single one of those games. So yeah, I think he's been a fantastic pickup.
Now I'm just going to throw this question up before we get into mine. Matt Carmody, frequent viewer. So, Matt, yes, in Ireland. Good morning from Ireland. Who would you go for in a head-to-head points league? Drummond, Duop Reith, or Wendell Carter Jr.? It's this time of the year, isn't it, when we're having these discussions. A clear favourite for you here?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I'd probably go for Wendell Carter. He's, I still think he's starting. So, Reith, he's not starting while Ayton is playing. And I think Ayton is still playing right now. I don't think he's going to miss. I would expect that he does miss down the stretch. But Reith is coming off the bench. Drummond, of course, is coming off the bench behind Vooch. But an interesting thing to notice as well, just the last three games, Nikola Vucevic has actually played around the 30-minute mark, and it's actually reduced across his season average. So maybe Drummond does get a bit of a shout in there. But for me, I'd probably still lean Wendell Carter.
Yeah, I think if all things being equal, I'd go probably Carter just because, as you said, he is starting. I'm just having a look at Drummond's box scores. For the last few games, he's had decent output, but his minutes, he's sort of hovering around that 17 to 18 minute mark, even down as low as 15. So, I mean, he's certainly the best per minute. He's going to get you double-double basically with some defensive stuff. Reith, if Ayton's questionable tomorrow with his elbow thing that's going on, so if you can wait and see what the update is on Ayton. Portland are usually pretty good with their injury reporting in terms of letting us know early. They're not necessarily good with their actual injury reporting because they keep ruling guys out and then they're back and then they're out. But in terms of when we should know, it should be before games tip off tomorrow. So if you can wait, I probably would, because if Ayton sits, Reith might be worth a look there if he can play 28, 30 minutes. But I don't think there's a clear guy here. I think it's sort of a bit of a hit and hope. Drummond could play 23 minutes and get you a double-double, as I said. If Reece starts and plays 28, 30 minutes, he can hit some threes and get sort of 15, 16 points with some boards and things. So, yeah, I think Carter's probably the safest, but the other two maybe have a little bit more upside if the minutes and that are there for them.
Just keep an eye on Vooch as well. If they're just playing him less minutes over the last three, maybe they're just looking to phase him out come the end of the season.
So these were my names for my three waiver wire pickups. So I've picked up all of these guys in at least one league this year. Ayo Dosunmu is my first one. Now, I haven't put his season-long rank in the brackets here because season-long, he's still outside the top 130. So he's more of a guy that you probably needed to pick up 6 weeks ago. And so I've pulled up his numbers here from the last 2 months, I believe. Let me have a look. Last 3 months. So a decent chunk of the season where we're sort of going back to basically the start of the year. If you picked him up, he's the 83rd ranked player. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, basically a steal. 0.7 blocks as a guard is handy, and 50% from the field, 85 from the line, and 2 three-pointers. So he's been really efficient for a guard. Zach LaVine has been out, well, not the whole season, but for a good chunk of the season. Both Dosunmu and Kobe White have had really good years. So, yeah, I think if you manage to pick up Dosunmu, because he wasn't rosterable for the first month, 2 months of the season. But once he started getting those consistent minutes, he's been really good. Like, he's been someone who I've been rolling out as a starter, even on nights when I have full rosters. Haven't really considered dropping him. And having him on my team has probably helped me get into the final or the championship in at least one league. Did you manage to get him in anywhere this year?
I did. It was early stages, so I used him as more of a streamer. So I do regret not holding on to him. I didn't think he'd maintain this consistency, and those shooting splits are wonderful. But just an interesting thing, what do you think happens next season? Obviously, a lot of water to go under the bridge. LaVine possibly coming back or possibly being traded. Also, we've got Ball as well, Lonzo Ball in the mix for next season as well. So what happens with Ayo?
Yeah, I don't think this is something that's sustainable given or based on what we know about the Bulls right now. Lonzo is looking like he's at least going to try and give it a go next year. Kobe White's going to be there. Like, that much is we're sure of. But yeah. Zach LaVine is the question here, whether he's still around. So I think just with LaVine at the moment, as I said, currently we know if LaVine is there, if Lonzo is relatively healthy and trying to play, we've seen before that the Bulls are happy to go away from Dosunmu and play him as a 18-minute backup off the bench. They've sort of been forced into playing him big minutes because they just haven't had anyone. So at the moment, I wouldn't think that this is sustainable at all. He's probably not even someone you'd be drafting unless things change, but things could certainly change and they need to change in Chicago, as we know. So, I mean, you could argue that they've been better without LaVine and with Dosunmu starting. Whether the coaching staff agrees, I don't know, but he has been really good.
So probably someone you may consider as your last round pick in a draft, perhaps, depending on what happens with LaVine and Lonzo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I think if there is scope for him to get minutes, then you maybe take a flyer on him, a little bit like we did with Kobe White this year. Took a flyer on him and it's paid off. Isaiah Hartenstein, another player that's really benefited from injuries to other players, specifically Mitchell Robinson, 73rd ranked player on the season. He's never going to be a high volume scorer. So, no, it's not surprising to see that he's only averaging 7.4 points per game, but 8.4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, a steal, a block, 64% and 73% respectively. He was someone that potentially was being drafted as a late round guy, but was probably dropped pretty quickly. And it wasn't until Mitchell Robinson went down that people would have gone and added him. And that was, I know, so Mitchell Robinson came back yesterday, obviously. And we saw an immediate impact in terms of playing time. But if you look at his minutes, I'm assuming Mitchell Robinson got injured on the around the 8th of December, based on looking at these minutes, because Hartenstein went from playing in the mid-teens to around 30 minutes a night. So from that spot, if we look, what's that, the last 3 months, if I look at his rank over the last 3 months, he's the 34th ranked player. So since he moved into the starting lineup, he's a third rounder. Again,
I think it took a couple of games with some shenanigans with Jericho Sims to start. Of course, we were sort of expecting that based on last season as well. But yeah, as soon as he took that starting position, my God, yeah, he's been unbelievable. Another guy that I've got on my team, and well, I guess with Mitchell Robinson back, where do you see things go with Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yeah, look, I picked him up this week just because I needed a centre. I needed a second centre. It's a two-centre league, so I just needed someone there. So I picked him up, and then we got word that Mitchell Robinson was coming back. look, he was still okay the other night when they played Toronto, but he did only play 19 minutes. So that is a little bit of a worry. His line was fine. The production was there, but it was against Toronto, and they won by 44 points. So I don't know how much we can take out of that. So I'd be holding him. If you do have him, I wouldn't just be dropping him because Mitchell Robinson's back, because I think Robinson's probably not. I don't know if they've got any back-to-backs coming up, but Mitchell Robinson, they're not going to push him too hard. They need him for the playoffs. So they'll just be looking at probably it could be somewhat of a minute split for the rest of the season, or at least for the next week or two. So I think Hartenstein can still get 20 minutes a night, which is probably enough to have back end 12 team value. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm holding Hartenstein in my league that I've got him. I think, well, I know next week there is a back-to-back for the Knicks. So I think that is on the Thursday, Friday. So there's a bit of time for Mitchell Robinson to get up to speed as well. But I would expect him to miss one of those two games on the back-to-back.
Yep.
I think there's still going to be some Hartenstein value there. Like you said, the minutes were worrying, but it was a blowout. So let's see what happens in the next couple of games until we decide if we wanted to drop him as well.
Yeah, and it was a blowout. And I think if you look at the box score, Precious Achiuwa had his best game in about 3 weeks the other night as well. So they rolled with him down the stretch, where if it was a competitive game, they probably would have had a bit more of Hartenstein there. So final guy I've got is someone that, I don't know, I mean, I feel like he was probably drafted in a lot of leagues, but I managed to pick him up. He's just sort of one of those guys that's not very exciting. Last year he was the 124th ranked player, pretty underwhelming after a couple of top 70 seasons before. So Bogdan Bogdanovic is who I'm talking about. But, yeah, look, I picked him up pretty early in the season, like first 2 weeks. And basically I've just been rolling with him ever since. He's the 67th ranked player, 16.6 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, over a steal, 43% from the field, not great, but he's never been a high efficiency scorer, but 91 from the line, only on 2 attempts. So he's not getting there that much, but he is getting you 3 3-pointers a game. So this is sort of back to what he was doing in the 2020-21 season. His numbers are very similar to what he was doing, and he was a top 50 player back then. So I think he was good in the, was it the World Cup, where he played really well before the season, and he's basically just flowed through this season. Have you managed to get him anywhere?
I didn't get him anywhere, but I'm loving his season. He's definitely a contender in the Sixth Man of the Season award. I don't know where he is at. I know Malik Monk's really faded in the last few games as well, so perhaps Bogdan does have a shout there. I'm not sure what the betting lines are at the moment, but he'd definitely have to be up there. Definitely top five for me, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm just having a look. Yeah, I'm not a betting person, but it looks like Sixth Man of the Year odds, and I don't know if I'm looking at what side or anything like that, but he's certainly in the discussion along with Malik Monk, Norm Powell, Looks like Bobby Portis, Tim Hardaway, Caris LeVert, Naz Reid. So there's a few names in there. I think I'd have him top five.
You're right.
Probably. And as you said, Malik Monk has cooled off a bit. Norm Powell, sort of Norm Powell. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he wins it, but he's certainly
Malik Monk, $1.20. That's odds on favorite there. I wouldn't have thought it was that short, but yeah, interesting. Malik Monk, $1.20.
Yeah, he was really good, I think, for a period there, and he has cooled off a little bit lately, but I think he probably still gets it this season. Let me go. So, yeah, Matt just followed up from his question there. He was leaning Wendell Carter, and this is true. They have the back-to-back Friday, Saturday. So you could keep him and then drop him and pick someone else up for the Sunday game. That's basically why I've been holding on to Jalen Suggs in a couple of leagues, is because he plays Saturday this week. So not many teams have that back-to-back there. So our normal player sort of match-up things that we do here, and rather than looking at value for the rest of the season, because we don't really care at the moment, there's only 2-3 weeks left, thought we'd have a look at next season. And one player that we talked about earlier, DeJounte Murray, is one of your two, and you've matched him up against Fred VanVleet. So looking at the 2024-25 season, who's your preference here?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. We know DeJounte's just been on an absolute tear in the last month, well, probably even longer, since Trey's been down, and he's just been top four in the last 3 weeks. We look at over the last 3 weeks, so fourth in Ninecat, whereas Fred VanVleet sneakily has been eighth in the same period, which I guess is testament to him stepping up in the absence of Alperen Sengun. Jalen Green's just risen, hasn't he? He's absolutely been on a tear as well. But Fred VanVleet's quietly been a tremendous fantasy player since Sengun's gone down. But for next season, that's a tricky one. We talk about the dynamics at Atlanta, what's going to happen with Trey, what's going to happen with DeJounte. Do they both remain on the team next season? I don't think they're going to keep rolling with those two as the 1-2 punch. It hasn't really worked. I think it's been a failure. I think that trade ultimately was a failure for the Hawks. So I'd expect one of those two to be traded. So I think that ultimately increases DeJounte Murray's value for next season. Whichever way it goes, if he remains in Atlanta, I could see him being a top 20 guy easily, particularly based on what we've seen this season whilst Trae Young has been sidelined. And if he does go to another team, of course, it depends on the team that he does go to. But we saw what he was like as the main man in San Antonio as well. So Fred is always going to be Fred. He's always solid. He's that key veteran presence on a young Houston team. But I just have the edge with DeJounte. I feel like I would rather pick him over Fred VanVleet for next season. Thoughts, Key?
Look, I think for me it does come down to as well who is where. If DeJounte or Trey are moved, I probably go DeJounte here. If they're both there, I probably go VanVleet. If they're playing alongside each other, VanVleet's been sort of quietly good. His offense is pretty frustrating because he'll have nights where he only gets you 10 points or 9 points. He'll usually get his assists. His steals have sort of ramped up a little bit as the season's progressed. And obviously that's just adjusting to a new team. So I think VanVleet is probably a little bit safer because we know exactly who he is, what we're going to get next season. I think we just basically take this season and roll it over. DeJounte has higher upside. We've seen him be a first rounder when he was with San Antonio. And if Trey is moved and they go with DeJounte and Jalen Johnson as their future, maybe Okongwu moves into a starting role at some point, then I think DeJounte can push to be a top 20 player again. So, yeah, at the moment, based on everything we know right now, it's probably VanVleet just because he's a bit safer, but I could very well see it being DeJounte if, as we expect, Trey or DeJounte are moved. And I would have said 6 months ago it was going to be DeJounte, but given how well they've looked the last little bit without Trey, DeJounte has been very passionate on the court. You can see that he's very engaged and enjoying his role. So I don't know, maybe they do move off Trey. I wouldn't have thought that was possible, but I don't know.
No,
do you think Trey could get moved?
I'm like you. I didn't think that was possible. I think there were two untouchables. That was Trey and Jalen Johnson. Mm. But, yeah, like you said, you look at the crowd in Atlanta, and they're loving what DeJounte's doing right now. So I could easily see that switch and keep DeJounte as the alpha. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I just don't think they'll roll with both of them. I think a trade has to happen. But we've seen a lot of teams just say that as well. We've said that about Chicago. They can't just keep going with these big three because it's just not working. And here we are. We still have those guys. And they're okay with mediocrity. I don't know if Hawks will settle for that.
So I'll just throw this question up before we jump into my matchup. So this one came through on Twitter from Sheffy and Stein. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sir Adam. All right. Does Max Strus have more value than Jalen Suggs? Planning to drop Suggs for Strus? I would say yes. Well, yes, but the caveat being that Orlando have the back-to-back. So Orlando play Friday, Saturday. Cleveland do not. So if you're looking at games played, you're going to get two games of Jalen Suggs and Strus plays Friday and Sunday. I believe they play Sunday as well. So, if you're looking at schedule here, I'd stick with Suggs and then drop him and pick up Strus for Sunday. But in terms of just pure value, I'd probably lean Strus slightly, unless you're really just looking for those defensive stats, and then I'd stick with Suggs.
Yeah, keep in mind as well that Max Strus came back, he looked pretty good, but that was also in the absence of Donovan Mitchell. So we'll see. I think Donovan Mitchell will play in the next games. We'll see how that shakes things up. That may actually help Max Strus just with another facilitator to open up the floor for Strus. So we'll see how that plays out.
And then so my matchup, a pretty relevant one, I think. I popped up something on Twitter, I don't know, yesterday or the day before, just about Steph Curry this year. And he's sort of been an under-the-radar bust. I only say bust in relation to where he was being drafted and our expectations on Steph, because obviously our expectations are really high because of how good he's been throughout his career. But this season and just more recently, I think, I don't know, I'm seeing more chinks in the armor. He's not as consistent. He used to have these odd games where he would shoot the ball poorly, but he would bounce back very quickly within a game or two. But he's going for periods now, like longer than a week, where he just can't hit his shots. So for me, he's just been a little bit underwhelming. He's 26th on the season, 49th over the last 2 weeks, 90th over the last month, averaging low to mid-20s in points. So I just feel like with age is starting to catch up with him a little bit, the rest of the league are catching up with him a little bit. But I guess we could say the same for Damian Lillard. He's been a little bit underwhelming as well. I'm actually about to, you've sent me yours already. We're looking at top 12 players for next season. So I'm just getting a number of analysts to send me their early top 12s, and then I'm going to compile it together and look at averages and have a look. And Steph is actually not in a lot of people's top 12 for next year. Dame is not either. So if you were sort of picking second round, I guess, next year or at a spot and both of these guys were available, which way would you lean?
I'm going Lillard. And it's interesting because we talk about Lillard being a bust. Oh, he's been terrible alongside of Giannis. But he's actually just pure ranking. He's been better than Steph. And like you said, Steph, a lot of his value is tied up in threes, as is Dame's. But I feel that Dame has some value that's outside of threes as well that Steph doesn't have right now. And we know Steph's elite from the free throw line, but it's not on the volume that it used to be as well. So with threes being so prevalent on the waiver wire, I just, both of their values does diminish for me, and neither of them are a top 12 pick for next season in the drafts and draft season. But I would go Lillard over Curry, and that would be quite easy for me.
Yeah, so Lillard is 20th for the season. As I said, Steph is 26th, so half a round between them, not much. Yeah, for me, I think it's just the fact that Lillard has a little bit more to fall back on. So he can get you 7-8 assists, whereas Steph is more of a 5-assist player. So those 2 to 3 assists per game do make a difference. And I also feel like he just had a little bit more defensive stuff left in him. He's closer to a steal. Steph's just under a steal. So, yeah, I think I would go Dame as well. But in saying that, let's see what Golden State look like next year, because I think it's pretty obvious that they can't move forward with the roster that they've got if they want to give Steph another chance at winning. So they're going to have to get some new pieces in there. They're going to have to make some changes. So that could impact Steph's value a little bit.
And another thing to note as well, Steph still is the number one on that team, whereas Lillard is the clear number two on the Bucks as well. And we've seen when Giannis does sit, Lillard goes nuts. He goes just absolutely atomic with whatever game that Giannis does sit. And we don't expect Giannis to be out injured next season. That's extremely difficult to predict, and you never actually hope that on anyone. But if there is an opportunity for Lillard to lead that team, we know that he can have that first round value. So just another thing to be mindful of as well going into next season's draft season.
So we just got a, I'm just going to throw this comment up. This weekend kind of belonged to Cole Anthony, mark my words. He's like, he has been good. I want to say, let me pull up, because I don't have him anywhere. And I did have him for a little while earlier in the season and then dropped him because he basically wasn't playing. But I know he's been hot the last week or so. Where are we? Yeah, so 26 points, 16, 10, 21, 6, 12. So the last sort of 3 to 4 games. So last week, 17th ranked player, top 80 over the last 2 weeks. So if he's available, as I said, the Magic have back-to-back here. So I'd consider going and adding Cole Anthony if he's available, if you can pick him up for a couple of games.
Another thing to consider as well, I hate to be that guy, but Gary Harris, I think he's questionable for the next game as well. So he's been out. That's helped Cole Anthony's value. So just be mindful of that. But yeah, I think while Cole is hot, just grab him.
Yep. And Matty G, greetings from holiday country. Wish I was there to join, but here in spirit. Yes, he is. As I said, I don't know where he is. He's somewhere. I think I'm jumping on his show in the morning, though, so he's still managing to squeeze in his usual Saturday morning show with Skitty, I assume. So I'll be jumping on that one, I believe. So, yes, I think we're both leaning Damian Lillard here in this one then.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I can, as I said, I'm doing this exercise with top 12s for next year. And spoiler alert, I don't think Steph is going to be in that top 12. I think maybe one or two people have got him towards the back end at sort of 10, 11, but most people don't have him in there. I feel like he'll go around 20. I think he'll go probably middle of the second round next year. So time will tell there. All right. I think that'll do. 45 minutes seems like a good time. Now let us know what you and Kayla have got coming up on your show.
Yeah, Kayla and I are actually going to go live with a show in a few hours' time, actually. It's been a long time between drinks. It's probably been a good couple of weeks since we've had our show, so we thought it was due that we get on. So, yeah, live show tonight, so keep an eye out for those updates on Twitter. And then we're looking to do a bit of a retrospective. So a lot of the fantasy seasons coming to an end, if it hasn't already. So we're going to look at doing a retrospective and similar to what we've done today, but just looking at some waiver wire pickups, but also how we've done in our own leagues as well. So watch this space. We'll be looking at doing that in the next few weeks.
Yep. And we'll have, we've got our usual show. So this show will continue usually on a Thursday night with Maddie, and then you jump on from time to time, and Skitty and Horse, a few people. Mitch Casey has done a couple, but he's very tied up with all the AFL stuff at the moment. And I do believe
it's AFL stuff, actually, because I'm still a novice when it comes to AFL fantasy. So I'm trying to jump on there.
Yeah, he does a lot in that space. And I'm fairly certain it's his birthday today. So, Mitch, happy birthday. No idea how old you are. I know you're younger than me. So enjoy the day and the night. I don't know what your plans are. So, yeah, we'll have our usual shows. As I said, I'll have this top 12 thing coming out. I'm already approaching some analysts to do some analyst interviews. You are one of them. Kayla is one of them. So last season, I might even put a link up to this at some point once fantasy season is done. I interviewed, I think it was about 24 analysts. Just went one-on-one talking about how they got to where they are and what they do away from fantasy basketball, where they go on holidays, what their job is. So I'm going to do another series of those. I've got about 18 people confirmed. So and we've actually got some fantasy analysts as well as some beat reporters as well. So yeah, some NBA beat reporters and that sort of thing coming on. So that should be fun. And our playoff leagues, B-Dub tweeted the other day, I think I tweeted as well, we've got our fantasy playoff leagues launching, pick'em leagues, so they're very simple, you pick a player a day, once you've picked that player, you can't pick him again, so you've got to be pretty strategic with who you're picking, it's a points format, it's one league, as many people as we can get in the league, and so the winner will get hundreds of dollars if you win it, so if you are looking to join a playoff league, check out my Twitter or check out B-Dub at Hidden Upside. He's got a link there to our Discord. And if you go in there, you can find the links to all the leagues and that sort of thing. So that will do it for today's show. Thank you, Dan, for coming on.
Pleasure.
Again, always good to have you on. We'll be back next week, myself and Matty G, I believe. Until next time, catch up.
Bye, guys.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.